I'd like you to open your Bible again with me at the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 8, the portion of scripture that we have read together. And while all of the chapter is very, very important, we want to focus our attention upon the words that are recorded in verse 10, where the preacher says, "And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity. I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy." I'm sure it goes without saying tonight that the book of Ecclesiastes is in many ways one of the more perplexing books in the Bible. It is a book that is filled with a sense of hopelessness and with a sense of despair. What it does is simply this. It depicts the difficulties and the disappointments of life. It emphasizes the shallowness of things that are temporal and things that will soon pass away. And yet, tragically, those are the things that many people seem to put emphasis upon. They are more interested in this life of building around themselves a little earthly empire that will soon perish than preparing their souls for an everlasting eternity. The word vanity is regularly used in this book. For example, we read in chapter 1 and verse 2, "Vanity of vanity," saith the preachers. All is vanity. That word, of course, reminds us that the things of earth, the things of time, soon fade and pass away, such as our own mortal life. I believe that the book of Ecclesiastes is a good commentary on James chapter 4 and verse 14, where it says, "What is your life?" And then in answer to that question, it goes on to say, "It is even a vapor." It does not say it is even as a vapor. It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. The words like steam coming up from a kettle on the boil, and when it goes off the boil, that vapor disappears and vanishes, and so is our life. Job chapter 14 and verse 1 puts it this way, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth as a shadow and continueth not." We find such words as vanity. And the phrase "under the sun" is often used throughout this book. Again, referring to earthly things and how fickle they really are. It says, "What profit hath a man in all his labor which he taketh under the sun?" So the book of Ecclesiastes is concerned with things under the sun, earthly things, things that a man or a woman does, his life, his pleasures, his pursuits, his labors, and they are all of so little profit, and his times are filled with perplexity. Whereas the Bible reminds us, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world?" No man could ever gain the whole world, and neither does the Bible say it. No man could gain all of this world's popularity. No man could gain all of this world's wealth. No man could gain all of this world's praise and power. But yet, if he did and lost his immortal soul, then what would that profit that man? So this text tonight is a text that is not filled with any great sense of joy. It is taking us down the corridors of despair. It pictures the final end of those who do not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. It pictures the end of the ungodly. He says, "I saw the wicked buried." And note those words. The preacher says, "I saw." This is not second-hand knowledge. "I saw the wicked buried." In verse 9 he says, "All this have I seen." This is not something that had been told him. This is something that he had witnessed with his own eyes. This is first-hand knowledge. Thus, he speaks with tremendous authority this evening. And these words are to be laid up in our heart. They are to be believed. They are to be accepted. This is the end of the ungodly. I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy. And as we consider that verse and the theme, the end of the ungodly, three simple thoughts that I want to leave with you by way of challenge. Oh, could it be that you come to this service or to this church service week after week, and yet if you died tonight, you'd die as the ungodly? In spite of all that you have heard, in spite of every privilege you have enjoyed, yet if you pass from time into eternity, the question is this: where would you be in eternity? Where would you be 5 minutes after you're dead? I saw the wicked buried. I want you to notice, first of all, here, the people describe, he says, I saw the wicked. Now, that is used in the Bible, a term that speaks of those who are out of Christ, because sin and wickedness, they are used interchangeably in the Scriptures. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 3, for example, when Peter stands up to preach with tremendous boldness at Pentecost, and many of those who were involved in the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ were assembled there, and he spoke to them with these words and said, "You have taken, and by wicked hands, or by sinful hands, have crucified and slain the Lord Jesus Christ." Of course, the Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 3 that all of us have sinned, and all of us have come short of the glory of God. And he goes through a whole list of things, how sin contaminates our lives. We read in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, "There's none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth." And you see, because of Adam's fall in the garden, there is an intellectual departure from God, and man does not understand how abhorrent his sin is in the sight of a thrice holy God. There is none that understandeth. And he says this, "There is none that seeketh after God." And left to ourselves, we would never seek the Lord. But this is the good news of the gospel, that Christ Jesus came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. Just as God came into the garden when Adam was hiding in his sin, and God cried out, "Adam, where art thou?" When Adam was hiding, God was seeking. My friend, if there's any inclination in your heart to know the Savior, it is because the Lord in his mercy is seeking you out. He says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, reminds us just of the contamination of sin. For he says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And Isaiah puts it this way, that from the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. So the wicked are those out of Christ. And yet the wicked referred to are also pacific, because it speaks of wicked or sinful rulers. Those who are blinded by their power, those who are blinded by their position, those who are blinded by their purse. And they feel that they are answerable to no one, but everybody is answerable to them. Feeling secure in their wealth, feeling secure in their earthly honor. And yet it has a general application as well. For all who know not the Lord Jesus Christ are identified because sin is wickedness against the thrice holy God. Prosperity and power has hardened the hearts of many individuals tonight. In fact, verse 11 of the scriptures that we read together says this: because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. And they feel that because God hasn't suddenly cut them off, or God suddenly hasn't judged them, then God will never cut them off of their sin, and God will never forsake them. And they gamble with the uncertain tomorrow. Impunity hardens the heart of the sinner in their sin, and the patience of God is shamefully abused. Because judgment is not executed immediately, they feel it will never be executed. And yet the preacher says, I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy. Friend, you can live in your sin, trifling with the uncertain tomorrow, and lose your immortal soul forever. What a tragedy it would be to go from a house of God of this nature to a lost eternity. I saw the wicked. My friend, into which category of people do you fall? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you ever had that saving encounter with him? Do you know him whom to know is life eternal? Or is it you know about him, but know him personally? No, you don't know him savingly. Yet he stands at the door of your life, would be your Savior and save you gladly, and says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. But there's not only a people described here, but then there's a privilege despised. For he says, I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy. Now that portion there refers to two things. It refers to a place, first of all, those who had come and gone from the place of the holy. What is he talking about? Is he not referring to place such as you and I are here this evening? Is he not referring to the house of God where the word of God is read, for the gospel is preached? Oh, is he speaking to you personally this evening? You come and you go from the place of the holy. You come and you go week after week from the house of God. You go week after week from hearing God's word. Yet sadly, that word, not being mixed with faith, has no effect upon your heart. Little wonder we read in the book of Hebrews in chapter 2 in the verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more diligent heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. My friend, you need to give diligent heed to God's word. You need to heed that word tonight. You need tonight to flee from the wrath to come. You need to get up out of your sin and get to Christ. For the Bible says, we know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's a vapor. Soon passes away. Many in our land tonight fall into this category of people, those who come and go from the place of the holy, from church services, evangelistic preaching, gospel missions. These are a people, he's saying, who were buried in their sin, who heard the word of God. My friend, if you were to die without Christ tonight, yet you could not say you did not hear God's word, and words whereby you could be saved. They had come and they had gone to the house of God. of God, but the word had no effect upon them. You see, the Bible says, we've already made reference to it in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, we're not saved merely by attending church services and gospel meetings, but that is the place we hear God's word. He says, I saw those people buried who had come and gone from the place of the place where others were wonderfully saved. But it also not only emphasizes the place, but the privilege. The privilege of hearing God's word. Now, sadly, many people do not consider that a privilege tonight. In fact, many people around this community think you and I are foolish people coming in here, giving up our evening, singing hymns, saying prayers, reading the Bible, and listening to preaching. And that is foolishness to them. And many cannot see the privilege here. And that is because they are blinded by the god of this world and blinded by the devil. Now, the Bible reminds us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So those people who were buried in their sin were a people who had privileges in their life. When you read through the scriptures, you will read of people who enjoyed tremendous privileges, yet despised those privileges, died in their sin, were buried in their sin, were lost in their sin. Such as Lot's wife. Think of her privileges in life. She was married to a man of God. She had a praying uncle. She was witnessed to when other people were not witnessed to. Because the inhabitants of that city did not know that when the sun would rise, God's wrath would fall upon the city. Yet she had been told and she had been warned. And the very angels came down and took her by the hand and led her out of the city. But she looked back and God cut her off and she was buried in her sin. There's also people in the Bible like Agrippa in Acts 26. He was the one who said to the apostle after hearing him, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian, but he never was altogether persuaded and he never became a Christian. My friend, many a time you've heard God's word. Maybe you've been almost persuaded, but not altogether. And tonight if you die, you die as the wicked die. Was the same with Felix in Acts 24. He sent for Paul to hear him concerning the faith in Christ. What that actually means, folks, is this. That he had heard the word of God. Now it comes down to specifically this. He has sent for Paul. He's inquiring how he can become a Christian. And yet, he never took that step of faith. Oh, can I ask you tonight, on hearing God's word, have you ever taken that specific step of faith and laid hold upon eternal life, embraced Christ as your Savior? Or is it that you are just caught up in the temporal things of life, living for this moment, not interested in eternity, living for what you can see, you're not interested in the things you cannot see? Consequently, tonight, find you out of Christ. If he died in that state, it would be said, died as a fool dieth, as a wicked dieth. But then, in closing, we have a predicament dreaded here. For he says, I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy. I saw the wicked buried. That is, buried in their sin. That is, buried without the Savior. That is, buried without hope. There's something very sad and something very solemn about that word buried. Now we have that word used in Luke chapter 16. And there we have the record of Lazarus, the beggar, and the rich man. The Bible says this, that both of them died. All the righteous die as well as the unrighteous. And Lazarus died, and the Bible says he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. But it does not say that of the rich man. Oh, and by the way, he is not in a lost eternity because he was rich. He is in a lost eternity because he died in his sin. And the Bible says Lazarus died, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And then it goes on to speak of his eternal state. Oh, it speaks of Lazarus' eternal state. He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. It speaks of the rich man's eternal state. He died and was buried and in hell. My friend, what have you died tonight? Heaven or hell? Now I know that that theme, that subject, that very word, why it's seldom used in many pulpits today. But yet, this is what is being emphasized. I saw the wicked buried. And the Bible speaks, first of all, about the damnation of hell. In fact, in Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, in the verse 16, the Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Friend, are you saved? You see, the Bible says that's not an option in my life. That's imperative. For the Bible says in Acts chapter 4 that neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That is a must in our lives. That is not optional. That's imperative. We must be saved. So the question is, friend, are you saved? The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica, he says that they may all be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Oh, sin is very pleasurable in the eyes of many people, and the devil will see to that. But the end of sin is damnation. The Bible talks about the damnation of hell. And more than that, the Bible talks about the duration of hell, because in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, and the verse 46, it says, "And these shall go away into everlasting." There you have the duration. Everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. When I read the story of that rich man in hell, you know, the tragedy of this, folks, he possessed all his faculties in that awful place. Because the Bible says in hell, he lifted up his eyes and saw. So he could see. He said, "Send Lazarus," so he could speak. He said, "I am tormented," he could feel. Abraham said, "Son, remember," so he could recall. Friend, the message is this: in God's name, don't die in your sin, or you'll be buried as the wicked are buried. Those who had come and gone from the place of the holy. Someone wrote these words: that he who provides for this life only and takes no thought about his eternal state may be wise for a moment, but is a fool forever. A man from Scotland, walking down a street in Johannesburg, he saw a piece of paper lying on the ground. It caught his attention, because he noticed the words "reward." And he noted also 5,000. He picked it up out of curiosity, and it read, £5,000 reward will be given to the person who can answer this question: how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? That reward was never claimed, because there is no escape from a lost eternity. And you know, the amazing thing is this, folks. In all the requests that the rich man made from hell, he said, "Send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue." He said, "Send someone back from the dead to warn my brothers that they might not come into this place." But in all his requests, he never once asked for his own release. Because he knew that hell is forever. I saw, the preacher said, the wicked buried. Those who had come and gone from the place of the holy. I saw them buried, that is, buried in their sin. Friend, what if you died tonight? You have come and gone from the place of the holy, not only week after week, maybe year after, maybe from the very inception of this church work. Yet tonight, you don't know the Lord. Oh, you know about him, but you've never received him as your Savior. The good news of the gospel is this, that you can. Jesus Christ said, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man," people of every class, people of every color, people of every creed, "if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him." Friend, would you come to him tonight? Would you come now? Settle the matter for eternity. Settle it for heaven and be sure. You're saved. Don't die as the ungodly die. Don't be buried in your sin. Come to Christ. Come tonight. Come now. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we're in the day of grace. We thank you that the door of mercy is open. There is a way back to thee from the dark paths of sin. A door is open that we can go in. At Calvary's cross is where we begin when we come sinners to Jesus. Just while our heads are bowed and our eyes are shut, friend, have you ever come to the Savior? Ever put your faith and trust in him? Then surely it is time to seek the Lord. You know, with our heads bowed, we'll sing a little verse of our closing hymn. You'll not need the book, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. Let's sing that, friend. And if you're not saved, why not in simple faith ask the Lord to save you? And when others go away, we'd love to show you in God's word, God's simple plan of salvation. Let's sing that verse, just as I am without one plea. Christ, come tonight. Friend, if we can help anyone spiritually, we would love to do so, but only the Lord can save you. Why not even go to your bedside as I did? Give your life to the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll write your truth upon our hearts. Now separate us with your blessing. Grant to us all journeying mercies, the covering of your precious blood, the wonderful joy of your salvation. For we ask this in our Savior's name. Amen.